Sunday, we begin another series in our ongoing outreach collections to benefit worthy organizations in the community. We're beginning the cause for ending homelessness with the National Soup Kitchen and Shelter. And to tell us a little bit about that, we're not quite ready for you guys yet. Bob Keating, are you here? There you are. All right. Bob Keating will tell us about specifics of our collection for these next 3 weeks.
Together with a community-wide effort on ending homelessness, which is spearheaded by the Continuum Care, which is a coalition of groups here in the greater Nashua area made up of nonprofits, religious organizations, and government focusing on this issue. In the few minutes that I have to talk about this issue, I tend to sort of keep in mind what it might be like to be homeless. Certainly, even today that we got to our balmy 25 degrees when I decided to come down here today, I was imagining that I was going to put on my wife's Christmas gift to me, a nice woolen cap and a gift of a friend of mine, gave me her down jacket, and sort of wear that. And that would be really well dressed for a day like this. So if you could just sort of keep that in your perspective. Even on a warm day, being out of the streets is obviously not the place to be. Now, the scope of this issue about being homeless here in our community and throughout the United States, in the end of January, there's a point in time count that is done both here in this community and throughout the United States, not necessarily on the same date, to estimate how many people are homeless. And we don't have the final figures in yet because it involves counting people who are both out on the streets and in cars and also living in shelters. So I thought we would have it by now, but it obviously was a little delayed on that. But the past couple of years, it's hovered around 600 people. So on a given night, there's about 600 people who are homeless in our community. If you extrapolate to the United States, we're looking at in the neighborhood of about 750,000 of our children and women and men are homeless on a given night. And we're looking at the neighborhood of about 2.5 to 3 million people throughout the course of the year that will be homeless in the United States. Gary made mention about the average age as being 9. And the way in which looking at it, the people are homeless on a given night, there'll be about close to 50% of the homeless will be families. Throughout the year, it becomes more staggered toward individuals as people who are homeless longer tend to be individuals and families tend to be shorter. But obviously any day is being homeless is not a good day. How do we get there? This is staggering numbers. The vast majority of people in this field say the principal issues are the staggering issue about income, but more than anything else, it's housing, it's housing, it's housing. We've lost $50 billion on HUD's budget from 1978. That's the big issue. Suddenly, people didn't become more impaired here in America. We didn't have, a growth in substance abuse. Even the institutionalization of the mentally ill did not do it. It's housing, it's housing, it's housing. Back in the late 70s, where you start to see things build up and through communities all the way around the United States, it used to be that families with very low income had choices in terms of housing. We had one very low income family, which in this community would define as 30% of the medium income, so we're looking in the low 20s. That's considered to be very low income for a family here in our community. There was one family for anywhere from 2 to 4 units they could find. And now it's reversed. We're looking at 2 to 4 families competing for 1 unit. So the more obstacles you have in inclusive housing, then the more likelihood it is for you to have that potential to become homeless. So that's how the problem came. That's sort of the size of the problem. Now, what are the costs? Well, really, I don't need to say much about the costs. I just can imagine what that is. Every single indices shows that people who are homeless do poorer in health, both physical and mental health. In terms of children, their education is impaired. Moving from school to school and not being able to have a place to call home. It is just an incredible tragedy. And on the financial end, the same thing. It costs more money for people to be homeless. Study after study has shown that even with the taking a family or taking an individual, putting them in a house with no subsidy at all, building all the services around them, it is at least the same cost and often much, much cheaper because it costs money to be homeless. People show up, obviously, in shelters. They show up in our emergency rooms. They show up in our jails. They show up in psychiatric facilities. Here in Boston, they did one study that tracked 119 homeless individuals over 5 years. During those 5 years, they averaged over $35,000 a year in just emergency room trips. That's the only cost. And if you added all the other costs, you can just see how it extrapolates from there. In fact, there's one group out in the West that attracted a couple of people that cost $800,000 because they just kept coming through. And services did not have medical services, did not have what we call basic care. So, scope of the problem, how we got there, what the cost is, what's being done with it. Well, clearly in our community there's many, many agencies, and we'll be speaking in the next 3 months because this is a 3-month initiative about 3 of them, the Soup Kitchen, Haber Homes, and Pastoral Care. They're doing direct services. They're working to end homelessness. But in 2004, our community developed a plan. It's a 62-page plan. It's called A Home for Everyone. That's the plan. We were one of the first communities in the United States of our size that did this. Presently, there's about 288 communities and counties who have initiated similar plans. It is also a federal mandate to end homelessness by the year 2012. I should make a little side reference to it, chronic homelessness, and there isn't time to develop that, but that's for people who are been homeless 1 year continuously or 4 times in the last 3 years. So there's a federal mandate. Our plan here is to end it by 2012. How are we going to do that? Four steps. First one is you plan for outcomes, which is you look at what's going on in your community, what's happening with children, families that we're seeing, and individuals, and you plan for what they need and build services around them. So that's the first. The second is you close the front door. And what that means is, and I'll be speaking about that in a moment in terms of the Soup Kitchens initiative, is that you try to do whatever you can to keep people housed. It's obviously emotionally the right thing and ethically the right thing to do. And as I pointed out a moment ago, financially it's the right thing to do. So you keep them housed whenever possible. The third one is you open the back door, which means you get them out of homelessness as quickly as possible and you build the services around them. That's what you do. And the final is you build the infrastructure, which is you secure permanent affordable housing and you build the kinds of support services that these individuals need. So that's the plan. How is it working? Well, in Framingham, Massachusetts, which my lovely wife, who we celebrated our 40th anniversary just a little while ago. Thank you, Hillary. I missed you. with the choir. I didn't get to sit with it this morning, you know, so it's hot. So Framingham is closing their shelter. Springfield is closing one of their main shelters, Springfield, Mass, in the next year. New York City, its largest shelter, LaGuardia shelter, 1,000 beds is closing. It's closing because they're doing the same thing here. They're saying, we want people housed. We don't want them on the streets or even in a shelter because it costs, again, you know, more money for that. On a personal note, I've been in the mental health field my whole adult life. I've had the privilege to follow people for long periods of time with chronic mental illness, with schizophrenia, with people hallucinating on a daily basis. And I'm three people that I've followed from 15 to 23 years. And two of them have been hospitalized continuously for 4 years. One of them was hospitalized for 4 years, been in a jail for 5 years. Once they got housing, public housing or a Section 8 voucher, they never lost their housing. They had support services. They had one family member who looked out for them, and they never lost their housing. So if the most severely impaired people can stay housed, then everyone can be housed. So what can we do? Well, our church has done much again and again in terms of help with pastoral care and Harvard Home and Soup Kitchen. In this initiative for today, the collection in the next 3 weeks will be directed to rental assistance and fuel assistance for the soup kitchen. That's what we're looking at. Gary has spoken about the baskets, which are in the back, just in front of entering into the kitchen area, has collections for diapers, socks, and underwear. So those are the concrete things that you can do. You can stop by the social justice table. We have literature. You can pay attention to what you see in legislative issues that come up. Speak to each other. It can change. March 11th, we're going to have a film. Some of you may have saw that now last week at a program which focused on the housing first model, which is you get people in there. It's unlike the former ideas of Alcohol Anonymous. People have to crash and hit bottom. Is that it makes inherent sense. You think you'd do better out in the street trying to get better or in a house where you build the services, and that's what the model is. So appreciate what your efforts have been. Thank you again for the support. It is very much in keeping with our principles of inherent worth and dignity and justice, equity, and compassion in human relationships and our principles. We can do better, and it's so important. So. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.